So the title of today's sermon is Principles of what? Of faith. If you attend this church, no matter where we go, we are coming back to faith. I'm going to run a series. We're going to take you to depths and depths of faith like never before. Today you hear some things you know, but you hear it in a new way because the revelation is new. It's manna. It's new every day. You have to pick it up every day. Hallelujah. Open your Bible to Hebrews. As I was thinking about faith, some things came to mind. No, before Hebrews. John! The book of John. I found something about John that amazes me. John. You know, there were 12 disciples. Yeah? And out of the 12, there were 3. You know the 3? Who are the 3 out of 12? You wanted to mention 3 disciples of Jesus out of 12. The 3 most prominent. Who are they? Yes?
Peter, James, and John.
James and John. They are the ones that climbed up the mountain. Even among the 12, there were those who had a deeper encounter with God. Amen? So when Jesus was going to be transfigured, he took up the mountain. Peter, James, and John. Even among the 12, there was one of them that I'm just using African vernacular. So out of the 12, there was one that carried last. You understand? They were all called. 12 people were called, but one of them carried what? Last, and he didn't make it. His name was what?
Judas.
Hallelujah. But out of 3, there was one. I had a deeper revelation of Jesus. Yeah? What's the name of that disciple? And when I was preparing for Sunday school, because I do the Sunday school guide, I found something I never knew before. Because when you read John, it's telling about the disciples of Jesus, and the first 2 were disciples of John the Baptist. You can see that in John chapter 1. It said when Jesus called, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, that Jesus coming back from his fasting and temptation. So John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the Bible said when John said that, 2 of John's disciples, John the Baptist disciples, followed Jesus. Those are the first people to follow Jesus. Now, this is Apostle John writing the book of John in John chapter 1. So he gives us the name of one of them. He said one of the name of the one of disciples is Andrew. But he doesn't give us the name of the second one. Why? Not that he didn't know it, he had to know it. But all through his book, he will not mention himself. He said the disciple that Jesus loved. So the very first disciple of Jesus is Apostle John. And he was also the last of them. He outlived them. Yeah? And he was also the youngest. When John was following Jesus, I estimate he was a teenager. Or about 20, he was a youth. So you are not too young. Amen? You are not what? Too young. But that's not the end. God, you know, God has a sense of humor. John outlasted them. Yeah? And he was given the revelation. You know, Jesus said, if I want you to remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. He's talking to Peter. So what did Jesus reveal himself to John as in Revelation? He said, I am Alpha and what? Omega. The first and what? The last. The beginning and what? The end. Because that same disciple was the first of the 12 and also the last that has lasted. So God speaks in many dimensions. Amen. When you are paying attention, you will start seeing deeper things of God. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 verse 18. We are talking about faith. But let's look at John chapter 1 verse 18. This is where I want to start on faith today. John 1 18. John chapter 1 verse 18. Yes? Would you like to read? Yes? Adult or youth, John chapter 1 verse 18. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome to this dinner, to this party. John 1 18. Who is ready? Come on, church. Yes. Thank you.
No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.
Amen. John. I believe that John's gospel, can be corrected, but I believe that John's gospel was the last of the four. Other than read, but he wanted to give you some deeper revelation of Jesus. Amen. Because it's the disciple that Jesus loved. It wasn't Jesus that defined that. He defined it. He had the revelation. He sees himself. It's not that Jesus said, oh, you're a disciple that I love. No. That's how John sees himself. Amen. Open your Bible to 1 John 4:17. I hope I quoted it right. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Thank you, my darling. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. No, that's not what I'm looking for. Let me just confirm it. 4:12. 1 John 4:12. Let's have a young person. Did I see your hand up the last time? 1 John 4:12. Let's go this corner. Anyone in this corner? 1 John 4:12.
No one has seen God at any time. No one has seen God at any time.
So when the Bible is telling you something more than once, it's giving you the emphasis. No one has what?
Seen God.
When?
At any time.
Old Testament? New Testament? No one has seen God at any time. I want you to settle it. We're referring to God the Father. When John says God, he's talking about God the Father. No one has seen God at any time. What will we see him? We'll see him at the end of time. Amen. He said we shall see his face. Amen. But that's not the end of the story. Yeah? What is 1 John 1:18 says? He said, but what? Let me go back to the reading. No one has seen God at any time, but what? Yes. Are you ready? You want to give me? Yeah? Go for it. John 1:18. Okay, fine. And who is ready? John 1:18. Are you ready? Anyone? Yes, go for it.
But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us.
Okay, that's 1 John 4:12. John 1:18. I'll put them together. Yeah, what should I go for now?
No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the Father of the The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.
Amen. Now that's the part I need to we're talking about faith. You may wonder where am I starting from? That is not the end of the story. Someone say, if you can show me God, I will believe. The only Son, Jesus Christ, had declared him. Thomas, he came to Jesus. I think it was Thomas. He said, John 14. He said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. He said, I'll be with you. Oh, he said, you still don't know me. He said, he who has seen me as what? Has seen the Father. The closest representation of God that you ever know is Jesus. Amen. Because no one has seen God at any time, but the Son who is in the bosom is right inside. The closest point of the Father is the one who reveals God to us. Because he himself is God. Hallelujah. So someone say, oh, but God has not shown. He showed up. Amen. God came down to earth. We call him Jesus. Amen. Anything you see in Jesus is the representation of God. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the living word of God. Amen. So no one has seen God at any time, but Jesus Christ, the only Son, he has declared him. And that verse, he has revealed him. Amen. Can I show you verse 19? Tell us more about that story. John tells us more. If you want to know Jesus very well, read the Gospel of John. If you're not satisfied, go to the letters of John. If you're not satisfied, go to the book of Revelation. When you finish, you will know Jesus very well. Hallelujah. Verse 19.
Now, this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but But he confessed, I am not the Christ.
Okay, let's just stop there. That was not what I was looking for. But I'll quote what I was looking for and we'll find it. He said that we have seen, we have tasted of his glory and grace for grace. It's there in John 1. Yes? Anyone find the verse? John chapter 1. I'm looking for it myself. We'll find it. I've been in that chapter for a while with the Sunday school, so I'm familiar with it. Maybe it's where it says the word became flesh. Let's just look for it. Anyone find what I'm looking for? Sorry? Yes, thank you. Thank you. It was the verse before. Let me go back to that corner. Well, I'm going to give you the masculine version now. John 1:17.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Yes, John 1:17. Yes, I'm still looking for more. I'm still looking for more. Yes, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. Yes, go on.
And the word was made flesh.
The word of God. Can we just go to John chapter 1 and read verse 1 to 3? I'm laying foundation for faith. This is foundation. Faith is not just hope. Faith is not just, oh, I have the best way that God will answer my prayer, so I have faith. No, that's hope. That's hope. Amen? If you are positive about something, it's not necessarily faith. It's hope. Hope is being positive. Hope is optimism. Many times you say you have faith, what you have is hope, not faith. Because faith has substance. Faith has foundation. Faith is rock solid. Faith is rock solid. You can't just jump from one man and say, I have faith. No, if you are positive, if you are optimistic, that's hope. It's good to have hope. But hope is not enough. Yeah? You need what? Faith. Faith is substance. Faith is solid. Yes? John chapter 1 verse 1 to 3 first, then we jump to 14.
In the beginning was the word.
In the beginning
was the word.
Was the word. That means in the beginning when there was nothing. Where was nothing material? In the beginning, nothing material. No people, no plants, no animals, no angels. No angel Michael. But what did you have? The word. Amen? Continue.
And the word was with God.
That word was where?
With God.
Continue, please.
And the word was God.
And the word was God. Continue.
The same was in the beginning with God.
Yes.
All things were made by him.
Where did everything come from? Where did everything come from? This chair, where did it come from? Where did this one come from? The word. What about this one? The word. What about this nice air you're seeing here? It's the word. You know? What about this lovely mobile phone? Where did it come from? Yeah, where did the ground come from? The word. The word. Everything. The constituent. Yeah? The constituent of anything material is not just atoms. The tiniest component of anything you see. It's not just atoms. It's the word. The word sustains the atom. The word keeps the atoms together. If there's no word, the atoms will fall apart. They will become electron, neutron, and proton. And they will be infinitely, you know, in science, if you keep dividing something, take something, keep dividing it, keep dividing it, keep dividing it, keep dividing it into two, it gets to a point where if you make that last division, what does it become? What's the state? So there's solid, liquid, gas, there's another state beyond. Quantum. What? Sorry? Plasma! If you keep cutting, it gets to say it's infinitely dispersed. You can't localize, it loses locality. It's the word that keeps it together. Colossians says, by him, that's the word. Colossians chapter 1, all things consist, or another version is, all things are kept together If you remove the word, they fall apart. Amen? Are you with me? So the foundation of everything is what? The word. And because why? Because the word is God. Amen? That is the foundation of faith. It's the word. Because that word was with God. And that word is what? It's God. Please continue. What verse are you?
Verse 3.
Yes.
All things.
Yes, finish it. Yeah.
All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Without him. Without him. I was chatting with someone yesterday, and he was like, you know, he's like, I'm so frustrated. I don't even know there's a God in heaven. And he was like, everything going on earth is because of human behavior, including yours. If you want to know whether there's a God in heaven, all God needs to do is withdraw your free will and make you incapacitated. You will know. Yeah? When you can no longer make your bravado, you will know that there's a God. You can't just go around, do as you like, you know, talk as you like, you know, cause havoc and say you don't know whether, and then when things are going on, you say you don't know whether there's a God. Things go wrong because we do wrong. Hallelujah. But in his love, in his mercy, he still sustains us. Is that not grace? Hallelujah. Say God is love. That's why 1 John 4:12 tells you that no one has seen God. But what did you say? What did you read it again? No one has seen God at any time. But 1 John 4:12, yeah. I want you to stay there. I'll take it from Cameron. 1 John 4:12. I'm coming back to you. 1 John 4:12.
No one has ever seen God.
No one has ever seen God.
But if we love each other, mm-hmm. God lives in us, mm-hmm. and his love is brought to full expression in us.
Love is a language that the devil does not understand. You see, in the devil's language, it is tit for tat. I will give you all the beauties and glories of this world if you can fall down, fall and bow down to me. In the devil's language, you work hard, you get money. Or the other ways you can get money in devil's language. You can lie, you can cheat, you can defraud, you get money. Hallelujah. He's deep for that. He doesn't understand love. But he said that we know that we know God because we have his love in us. Hallelujah. His love. You know that song says, I've been born again. Where's Kevin? By what? Into his family. Thank you. His blood flows through my vein. You can also change and say his love flows through your heart. That's how you know you're born again. If you don't have love in your heart, you're not born again. You don't know him. When you know him, I'm not talking about romantic love. Romantic love is good. You know, you like ice cream? Anybody like ice cream? Ice cream is good. Yeah? But romantic love can fade. It can wane. And it can be selfish. And it can be mad. And when I say mad, I mean the wrath of love when it's hot. One moment, it's S over E. The other moment is when it's hot, it's ready to destroy. Yeah? When it's scorned, it's ready to destroy. But the love of God, yeah? No shaking. Amen? It's strong, it's solid, it's stable, it's lasting, it endures forever. Hallelujah. When you have that love in you, you know that you know God. Amen. No one has seen God. But if you have his love in you, you know that you what? You know God. Someone said, show me God. I said, he lives. I spoke with him this morning. You are the witness that God is real. My life was changed. I'm no longer dominated by selfishness. Hallelujah. When I'm working with someone, I'm not working with them because I want to gain something or manipulate them or control them. I'm seeking their best interest. The only time I will withdraw is when they don't want it. Because even though you want somebody's best interest, you are not permitted to dominate them. Hallelujah. When you start dominating people, yeah, and you're not allowing them to make any choices, it's witchcraft. Witchcraft is the art of domination, manipulation, and control. You don't have to use juju. The reason why witches go to juju is that they need it to help them manipulate. But some people don't need it. Praise the Lord. Verse 14. Let's go to verse 14. Where's the mic? Sorry. John chapter 1, verse 14. Let me begin to pull it together. You were like, oh, we're not even entered. He has not even said anything faith yet. All I've said is the word. And I've talked about love. We're laying foundation for faith. John chapter 1, verse 14. Principles of faith. Yes? John 1, 14. The word was made what? Continue.
And dwelt amongst us.
Where does the word dwell? Among us. Is it? See, I have access.
I have access.
To the word.
To the word.
It's here. It's not far away. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, when you're talking about faith, don't think about who will go to heaven to bring Christ down. Don't think about who will go down to hell to raise him up from the dead. He said, but the word is near you. The word is where? It's near you. God in his love has provided you the word. You have access to the word. Say, I have access to the word. The word is not far. It's near. It's near. All it's seeking for is my attention. But it is near. It is near you. Amen. Continue, please.
And we beheld his glory.
You see, you can't behold the glory of the word until you behold him. He may be near you. All you are beholding is your nice TV. And you are watching, what's the program you like to watch that distracts you from the word? Tell me, which program do you like to watch that distracts you from the word? Anyone? Yeah? Nobody? No idea. Which program do you like to watch that distracts you from the word of God? Like when you're watching it, you don't even know any other thing is happening. Any example? Come on, tell me. I know you watch some programs on TV. Come on. Young people. Maddie, we have an idea. What program do you like to watch that once you're watching it, you don't want anybody to disturb you? You don't even want your sister to talk, say anything. Just say, shush. Okay, I leave it to your imagination. But to see his glory, you must behold him. You must pay attention. If the word does not have your attention, you cannot enter the beauty and the glory that the word can do in your life. The word created everything. But when I'm not paying attention, it does not produce result. But when I pay attention, I will behold his glory. Please continue.
And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father.
Hallelujah.
Full of grace.
Full of grace and truth. Another version says, full of love and faithfulness. If you are reading NIV, it's not my special version, but that's what's there. It's full of love. But it's true. It's full of love and faithfulness. Amen. Let's stop it there. Let me bring it back. Now open your Bible to Hebrews 11. We go to faith now. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. Yes, somebody, a young person. Hebrews 11:1. We want to define faith. What is faith? We said faith is not being positive. Faith is not being optimistic. Yeah? Faith is not, you know, hoping for your best wishes. That's hope. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, a young person. Yes? Follow?
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
What is faith? And what? I want to ask you a question. So far in this service today, we have told you about something that has not been seen. What is it? Let me go to my workers. In this service today, we have talked about something that no one has ever seen. What has no one ever seen?
God? No one has ever seen God.
No one has seen God at any time. I mean, how many people have seen God? The Father. At any time. Zero. People have seen Jesus. People have seen Jesus in the Old Testament. You know when we had these three Hebrew women in the fire? Who was the fourth person? Someone that looked like the Son of God. Amen? Saint Jesus. He appeared as the angel of the Lord. Amen? When he saw someone appear to Joshua, I said, who are you? Whose side are you? He said, I'm not neither, I'm the captain of the lost host. Who is the captain of the lost host? Jesus. Hallelujah. When God visited Abraham with two angels, who did Abraham see? The Father or the Son? The Son. Because no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father has declared him. That's why the Bible says, Jesus told us in the Testament, he said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Hallelujah. So faith is the evidence that God is real. God is the evidence of things not seen. Many times we define faith on materialistic level. And it's okay, but it's not deep enough. You see, if you don't understand, if you don't take it to the next level, something will happen to you that your faith will fall apart. If your faith is only defined by material things, it will fall apart at some point. Amen? Faith has to do with the character of God. Faith has to do with what who God is and who he is not. So I was talking with your young children during the week. We're having this discussion. It's good to listen to young children about Christian stuff, And so one said, he said, God is so powerful. There's nothing he cannot do. Now, when you preach that theology and you stop there, somebody may grow up and leave the faith. I know you don't understand what I'm saying. So tell me, church, is it true that there's nothing that God cannot do? He's looking at me like, where am I going? I want us to list some things that God cannot do. He cannot, not will not, cannot. You are looking at me? Think about it. I'm coming to you, yes?
God cannot lie.
God cannot lie. God cannot. It's not that he does not. He cannot lie. So when God told Adam, he said, the day you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. If he didn't surely die, God has lied and stopped being God. God cannot lie. Yes, there's more. Yes, tell me.
God cannot sin.
No, God cannot sin. If you understood that, your faith's on a good foundation. It means that when things go wrong and you don't understand it, you're not going to fall apart. Because God cannot do evil. That's mean of he cannot sin. God cannot what? And he cannot what? If you see evil, where is it coming from? Yes, there's more. There's more that God can tell me. What can God not do? We'll talk about what can God can do. What's the name of the song? Everything that God can do. Tell me what God can do. It's double, it's triple, 4 times 10, 40.
God cannot go back on his word.
God cannot break his word. He can't. He says the scriptures cannot be broken. You don't understand. If God's word is broken, it's all over. Everything has fallen apart. Everything. The word, the integrity of the word is so important that if it's broken, everything falls apart. You don't need a nuclear bomb. If the word is broken, it's all over. It's finished. Because by his word, everything holds together. Amen. If you wonder about the process in which a child is conceived, just a cell, a fertilized cell, and then embryo, and what? It's not just biology. It's the word of God. You know what I said? Be fruitful and what? And multiply. That's what makes it happen. Amen. When you plant a seed, the reason why the seed goes is that God said that it should produce. He closed the seed, produce plants. What else can God not do? Anybody? Two more.
He cannot deceive or cheat.
God is a manipulator. You know, like maybe God wants you to do something, yeah? And you don't want to do it. Then God finds a way to deceive you. So that you can do it. He won't do that. The devil will. The devil will manipulate you and deceive you to do his way. Yeah? But God can't. He will continue to propose and woo you. And if after a while he's find that no, then he will accept and find somebody else. Yes, one more. Anything God cannot do? Yes? You want me to break the cord to avoid distraction? Anything else God cannot do? Somebody? Amen? God is faithful. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Yes? What else can God do?
If we're faithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
He cannot deny himself. Okay, God said, Sister Yemi, let's go to church and pray 1 hour before service. And then you change your mind. You say yes. You know that was it. It's not you actually. You know there's a story in the Bible. Someone said, go to my farm. He said, I'm going. And he didn't. Do you think God will now cancel the mission? He can't deny himself. Here we go. And he'll find somebody else. There's something he didn't say. God cannot fail. Man can fail. But the counsel of the Lord, it shall stand. He may just not be with the man who failed. He may find another man. But it shall stand. Amen? There are many devices in a man's heart. Proverbs. But the counsel of the Lord, it shall stand. So when I'm on the side of God, I stand with him. I succeed with him. When I go my own way, God can still not fail. He will raise up somebody else. He will raise up babes and sucklings. But if there's no babe and suckling, he will raise up a stone. God cannot what? Fail. He cannot deny himself. He cannot lie. He cannot break his word. He cannot sin. He cannot be unrighteous. Amen. Am I servicing your faith? We are removing all those, you know, all those dirt in the engine oil. Hallelujah. Foundation. The foundation of faith is the character of God. Hallelujah. How do we know all these things that God cannot do? It's in his word. We understand the character of God from what? His word. When I'm stabilized in the character of God, yeah? When I'm well stabilized in the character of God, my faith is on the good foundation. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And the number one thing not seen is what? It's God. Hallelujah. So to be in faith, I need to be well founded on the character of God. God is what? He's faithful. Another one, God is holy. Do you know God is holy? Amen? God is holy. Holy, holy, holy. God is love. Hallelujah. I didn't say God is loving. I said God is what? He's love. Amen? God is righteous. Amen? Hallelujah. God is what? He's righteous. Shall I add my own word? God is stainless. You can't put stain on him. You may tie it, will just fade away. He doesn't need to rub it. If you put stain, it will just... It can't stay. You know, when you have stainless... You know, you have some utensils called stainless steel. If you put stain, it still stay. But what I tell you is that it can be washed. But when you try to put stain on God, it can't stay. Is stainless. Hallelujah. So faith is the evidence that God is real. I want to tell you what is the real evidence that God is real. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son of God, who is the Word, who became flesh, as what? Has revealed Him. Yeah? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was where? With God. And the Word was God. So when I'm building my life based on the Word, my faith is in gear. No Word, no faith. Say with me, say, no Word, no faith. Hallelujah. You may have religion, but you can't have what? You can't have faith. And I'm to round up this sermon because time is gone. We have not started, we just scratched the surface. But I know the Holy Spirit has spoken. Let me just round it. I want to talk about the parable of the virgins. So many times I feel that, and we thank God for the gift of teaching in the church. You know, I listened to a good message during the week, and the person was an apostle. He preached a good message. But, you know, because the teacher wants that accuracy. So I just thought I should just explain this. In the parable of the virgin, you had 10 virgins who came, who were waiting for the bridegroom to come, and they all went for that night watch with what? A lamp. Yeah? Now, if you assume that all the virgins are potential bride of Jesus, yeah? What is the lamp that every potential bride of Jesus brings to Him? He says, not the Word. Yeah? It's something more than the Word. What qualifies you to even be a virgin for Jesus? It's your born-again spirit. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of a man is the lamp or the candle of the Lord. They were all born again. Their lamp is their spirit being presented to God. Are you with me? They came with their spirit. Say with me, they came with their spirit. But someone said, well, but the Bible says, Psalm 119, verse 105, said, your word is what? A lamp unto my feet. So how do you measure together? Yes, because the lamp needs fuel. The lamp needs what? Fuel. Fuel. And what is the fuel of your lamp? Your spirit. You said the lamp is your spirit. What is the fuel of your spirit? It's the Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit is the fuel that you put into that lamp to keep. And what does the lamp give you? Light and what? I know you think it's only light. Light and fire. The light of a lamp comes from the fire. If you don't believe me, go and put your... I know, because I spoke with some children in school. I'm like, oh, they never even knew that there were lamps that could use, you know, oil. You know, like in this age, you just... Even this one that is giving you light, touch it. A lamp produces what? Light and fire. So you can see where those foolish virgins were disqualified. When the Lord came, there was no light and fire. They had become cold and lukewarm. They were no longer qualified for that wedding. But the reason why their light and fire went up is because there was no fuel. What is the fuel? The Word and the Spirit. Now remember, they all came with lamp. And I can tell you that when they started that journey, they all had light and fire. Because they thought they came. They wanted to make it, isn't it? They wanted to make it. They were there. The Bible says, you know, they until midnight. Then the oil ran out. Yeah? So you must continue to give attention to the Word and the Spirit. And you cannot do it alone. You know why I know? Because Jesus showed us. He said, I will build my... Who built it? It's Jesus. Yeah, are you wiser than Jesus? Tell me, are you wiser than Jesus? Jesus will build... He said, I will build my church. The gate of hell will not prevail against what? A church. The church. Not just the individual Christian, but what? A church. So you need the fellowship. That's why he called you a sheep. Sheep need what? No. This is my language. You need the fellowship. He called you a sheep. So, sheep need fellowship. You see, when you're a sheep and you come into fellowship, you are awarded the role of a fellow. You are not an official fellow of the sheepfold. You need fellowship. Fellowship ensures that you continue to be giving good dose of the word and what? And the spirit. What does fellowship ensure? You continue to get what? A good dose of what? The word. And what? And let me tell you something. When you have the word and the spirit, your lamp must produce light and fire. And when you have that, results must come. Hallelujah. That's faith. That's faith. That's faith. It's not hope. It's faith. It's faith. Faith is based on the word. The word reveals the character of God. When you become established in the character of God, you can trust him and depend on him. But if you don't know the character of God, you cannot have root in depending. Because when the storms come, you will be shaken like a reed. Because you have no foundation. But when you know, I said, my God cannot do that. He is faithful. Because I tell you, in the journey of faith, you need perseverance. So what do you need? That's why I laugh at myself when I'm... You know, it's good to laugh at yourself. Just laugh. I don't mean laugh at yourself. Laugh within. You know, have a sense of humor within yourself to laugh. I just laugh. You can never walk the journey of faith without the ability to persevere. Perseverance is the greatest character you ever have in this world. Ever. He said, what do you mean? When Bible was defining love, what did he say? 1 Corinthians 13. Love is what? Love is. That's the first thing you know about love. What is love? The first thing you know about love in 1 Corinthians 13 is what? Love is patient. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So your knowledge of the character of God helps you to persevere through an unfavorable time. But let me not tell you the result. The result is that you will achieve a supernatural result. If you are not patient, you can achieve a natural result. This one is within the capacity of your brain and your hands and your feet. But if you want to part the Red Sea, your natural ability cannot do it. It's impossible. It doesn't matter how much you are positive, how much you wish it, how much you cry, how much you grumble. You can't part the Red Sea in your own power. It's a supernatural result. So you need faith. Amen? And you also need what? Patience. But that's empowered by the fuel of the word. The word establishes me in the character of God. Hebrews 11. Let's finish Hebrews 11, 6. I'll just quote it for you. You see your Bible. Memorize it. Everyone in this church, do yourself a favor. Memorize Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. It's simple. It's very simple. He said, without faith is what? Now, I know you know that because we said earlier, but I want to explain to you why. Why is it impossible to please God without faith? Why? Let me see what time is saying. That's the last one I will open. Yes, I can take one or two answers. Why is it impossible to please God without faith? Yes, thank you, my dear.
Because you can't impress someone who's not there for you.
You can't impress God. You can only trust God. I said, God, I've got to show you something special. Close your eyes. And then you do some fireworks. And I said, God, open your eyes. Now you can, God see your face. Say, are you impressed? You can impress God, but not in your own way. You can only impress God by doing this way. When you do this way, God is impressed. Because that is the battle. The battle you see in life is a battle between God and Satan. Satan has rebelled, yeah? But God created you to be the nemesis of Satan. Where Satan failed, God wants to boast about you and say, you see, have you considered my servant? Every time you do his will, God is happy. And devil is unhappy. But there's nothing you can do. Even if you can, let's say, you know, in the story of Job, God released it. He said, go and do your worst. But don't kill him. Can you imagine my God? He said, God has seen the end from the beginning, yeah? Do your worst. What I'm interested in is that this man will choose me rather than material things. Do your worst. And then he did his worst. Maybe for 9 months or 1 year. And sometimes you think Job suffered for the rest of his life, yeah? The Bible says after Job was tested, he lived for 140 years. And he saw four generations. And he had been restored. So basically, so in my estimation, Job lived longer after he has been tested than before. Because the Bible does not tell us that any of the children of Job were married, yeah? So you can estimate their ages. But when God restored him, God ensured that he enjoyed it for much longer. And the Bible said the end of Job is there. Was much better. You know, I say better like a British. You have to say the T very well. It was much better. Not if you come from London. Yeah. It was much better than his beginning. That's God. That's the character of God. When God restores you, when you walk with God, when you trust God, when you persevere with God, your end in this life will be much better than your... That's a supernatural result. Amen? It's a supernatural... Man cannot do it. Amen? The material thing that Satan took, he could take, God gave him back double. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, God is good. Oh, we didn't say that. That's the character of God. He's good. We're going to sort of round it up there. I believe that God has spoken to you.